I was 16 the first time I saw the stars. Really. I grew up on Long Island, just a 45-minute drive from Manhattan, where there was so much light from the night sky. There was so much light that the night sky was not a remarkable sight. But we spent time upstate, as we call it there, some summers, and it was there that I had some of my early experiences in nature. My parents founded this resort run by a German family in the Catskills when I was a teenager. Of course they did, being first generation German. This had family style dining and polka dancing and German music piped through speakers everywhere you went. Lots of other Germans. We went there for a few summers in a row. There were always other families there, so as a teenager, I was usually able to find someone to hang out with for the week. Think of your time as a teenager, perhaps in summer camp or having to go somewhere with your family. I'd spend my days there walking the trails with my dad, or swimming in the pool, playing pinball on the machine in the porch, reading a book under a tree, introvert that I was, and goofing around sometimes with the other kids. One year, there was this boy. I spent a lot of time with this boy. And one evening after dinner, we decided to grab flashlights and a blanket and took one of the trails to this overlook that they call Sunset Rock to see if you really could see the sunset from there. And we could, and it was gorgeous. We stayed there as the light slowly left the sky and it started to get dark. I will never forget lying on that blanket, looking up as the stars just started to become visible. We marked the first one together and made a wish. And as it got darker, I could see a few more, and then a few more, and then a few more, until at some point the entire sky was full of them. I had never seen this before. The boy pointed out a few that he knew the names for and a couple of constellations. He told me that they were always there in the same patterns every night. I was dumbfounded. And it wasn't just the stars themselves that had me in such awe and wonder, although that in and of itself was a beautiful play. It was the feeling of being under them, of the hugeness of that sky, of how incomprehensibly many there were. For the first time ever, I felt tiny, insignificant, which is a very big feeling for a 16-year-old or a 59-year-old. Since then, I've been fascinated with the night sky and with that feeling that I get when I look at it. It's this combination of things, that feeling. There's an awareness of my own body, right? As I breathe and my heart beats, that comes when I'm out there long enough to let myself quiet and just sink into looking up and out. There's the sheer wonder at the beauty and the expansiveness of it all, and that awareness of scale, right? It's so vast, so unknown, and I am a speck. And that feels like a lot of ways too. I feel completely insignificant in the hugeness of it all, and who wants to feel that ever? Sometimes I even feel afraid when I let myself really take in that hugeness, this fear that's tied into the awe of taking in this limitless amount of space, no boundary. It takes some courage for me to look up and let myself feel that small. And I can feel shift inside myself when I let myself really be in that space of feeling that vastness. I got to practice allowing that shift a few years ago when I got to look through a telescope at Kitt Peak National Observatory in Arizona. One of the things I got to see was what I had thought was one of the stars in the Orion constellation, the middle one in the Sword. It turns out that that star is a nebula, and a nebula is a star nursery. I was told this. Clumps of hydrogen and other gases are contracting in there under their own gravity. And as the gas collapses, that central clump gets stronger and the gas heats to extreme temperatures by converting gravitational potential energy into thermal energy. It's really hot. If the temperature gets high enough, nuclear fusion will ignite and form a protostar, the beginnings of a star, and that protostar is born. When it starts to emit enough energy to balance out its gravity and stop the collapse. So this thing I thought was just another star, as if there were really even such a thing, this thing that I thought was a star is actually a place where stars are being born. I stood at that telescope again, dumbfounded. The best part was, after looking through the telescope, the group I was with went back outside and they gave us binoculars on this tour. And I thought, binoculars after a telescope? But our guide pointed out that once we've gotten a sense of what that depth of field is like, we can feel it even with binoculars. And they were right. They pointed out where in the sky the features we had seen earlier were, and I could see them as we had been shown them through the telescope. Of course, a lot smaller, right? And then I looked at Orion. I found it, and I looked it through my binoculars, and there was this bright smudge in the middle of the sword that I now knew wasn't a star, but a nursery of more than 700 of them. And I saw this depth of field that I hadn't noticed before, a three-dimensionality that reminded me how big and how far away that nebula was. All I need to do now to remember that feeling is a pair of binoculars, even here in Madison, so I can see and remember that visual depth and that feeling of depth. Now, I don't know much more now than I did then about the names of those stars and constellations, but of course there's an app for that. I have it downloaded, no joke, and when I do go out and look at the stars, I hold it up and I see that bright pinpoint there is Jupiter, and that one is the North Star, and that one over there is that little W of Cassiopeia that I can see. I do know just enough to get a sense that I'm looking into both space and time when I look up into that depth at night as I am holding up that app. I know the light that I see today was generated a really, really long time ago, and that the dimmest points are often the furthest away. So I don't just feel tiny in the hugeness of space. I also feel like just one point in this giant timeline. And I know that I'm related to all of it, that I am stardust looking back upon the place and the time from which I came, that all of the hydrogen that ever will be born, that ever will be, was born in the Big Bang, or what Connie Barlow calls the Great Radiance. I love that term. And that every single atom that exists in the universe today was born in the burning masses of stars that lived and died before our sun was born. Every single bit of me is recycled stardust. And every single bit of my ancestors that was also recycled stardust is whirling around in our atmosphere. What's even more amazing is that I can know this, that I can look out into the night sky and know myself as fundamentally related, right, to all of that huge awesomeness. I can trace my origins and that of all those who came before me to that great radiance, to find both wonder and meaning in that relatedness. I love, Mandy, how you talked about that as well. We didn't compare notes. Joyce Rupp wrote about that recognition, that relatedness in the vastness. With the first sigh of the evening star, my heart responds to a distant touch, a wisp of recognition, a waft of joy. And so even though I'm tiny and insignificant, I'm also part of that vastness, and it's part of me. The French philosopher and Jesuit priest Pierre Teilhard de Chardin wrote, "The human person is the sum total of 15 billion years of unbroken evolution, now thinking about itself." Let yourself sit with that for just a moment. What a wonderful play. I am, and we all are, part of the mystery and wonder, part of the great process of evolution that started 15 billion years ago with that great flaring forth of unimaginable energy. And as the cosmologist Carl Sagan famously said, the cosmos is within us. We are made of star stuff. We are a way for the universe to know itself. We're the first species to have emerged that has the ability to both look out among the stars from which we arose and to acknowledge that evolution, to reflect and feel awe and wonder at the process. And beyond even that, I am, we all are, part of the planet for which everything happened in a way that could support life, your life, my life, the lives of all of our beloveds. And that is most certainly a miracle, no more and no less than the fact that you woke up this morning, and no more and no less that each and every one of those stars up there is related to us. All of this stirs inside me when I look up, and I think, yes, I'm very small, but that's okay. It's a reminder that love and life are so much bigger than any one of us, and we are part of it and born of it all at the same time. May that knowledge bring you a sense of peace in the universe as it does me. May it be so, and may we be so.